You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here. Thanks to Doug Roberts, the Deer Professor, for joining us first thing on the show today. Got more coming your way, and we are going to have a lot to talk about because we are getting into that magical season for fall here, and we're there and getting ready for our 15th anniversary of Wild Michigan. Cannot believe we've been doing it for that long, but very happy to be doing so, and I'll be on the road a lot, so if you're up in Escanaba, Marquette, Alpena, just to name a few places, look for me as I'll be looking for something to do. But right now we're going to speak with our good friend Mark Martin, the pro angler and freshwater fishing Hall of Famer. How are you, sir? Good to have you back, buddy.
On your 15th year.
Thanks, man. I honestly didn't think we were gonna last 15 minutes, but you know, we're still here. But
yeah, you're doing a good job.
Well, you know, I tell everybody, Mark, too. I said when I first started the show, it was, you know, I thought I knew a lot about the outdoors, and what I realized after producing another show is what I knew couldn't fill a thimble. So why not surround yourself with the people that are absolutely the best in the industry, who have the longest running records of being, you know, having learned along the way, because that's what we're all doing. And you guys have been so gracious to take your time out and teach us all, you know, the questions we all have but are afraid to ask.
Well, that's kind of my motto, and that's kind of was my mentor, Gary Roach and Al Linder's motto, is surround yourself with the best people that you know are the best, and you know, everybody goes to the top.
You know what, and that's just it, too. This life is too short to keep everything inside and keep it to yourself. Right. And you know, you've been doing seminars and things for so many years, and you're getting ready. You've got bear season coming up,
yep.
And you are prepping for what is like the big fish time for walleye as well.
Exactly, yeah. Getting my bear baits out right now, and I got a couple good-sized bear, whether I'm able to get them. It's still, you know, the 25th is the third season when I start my season. So, you know, you just hope that everything holds steady there. And I got one about 400, maybe 500, and another one around 300 pounds. And so, you know, I've, you know, seen them on camera, but that don't mean, you know, that they're going right to be in front of me either in enough light. So hopefully everything will work out. But in the meantime, I'm, you know, going and getting minnows, you know, because that's the best bait to use this time of year for all the species. And that's what I do, and I look for the steep drop-offs to use them on, and the deep water, and, you know, egg sinkers, and just kind of like a live bait rig, and you just kind of slowly move them throughout the habitat of the fish, and you're catching anything from walleye to muskie to pike to smallmouth bass to big perch, you name it, anything is susceptible. But I still, the hard part sometimes is locating, you know, where the bait is in the creeks and stuff like that. So, you know, that, and getting enough of it because everybody wants to come and go fish with me.
Right. You got to have a stash somewhere.
That's right. So that's what I'm up to right now, getting these minnows. And I used to use, you know, dough balls made out of oatmeal. Mm-hmm. You know, and your hands would get all mucky, and then you'd put them in the freezer. They look like big softballs or snowballs, and then you'd take them out, put them in the trap, put them down in there, and they dissipate as they unthawed with the current and everything like that. But my buddy told me, he goes, hey, you want to really catch them? I said, yeah. He said, go to the dollar store, get the gravy dog food, the little chunks. He said, and put a handful of them babies, and I'll tell you what, that was the best tip that you could ever get, because that gravy just keeps, you know, emitting its gravy, and the fish, minnows just keep piling in, and it lasts a lot longer than the oatmeal that once it's on thawed and the current sinks down outside the trap, this stuff stays in. So just a little tip for everybody if they're, you know, trapping minnows to use for their fall fishing adventures, it's the best way to go. And your hands aren't all mucked up in the end.
Right. You know, what would we do, Mark? What would anglers do without the dollar store?
Right, exactly. I mean,
you never really see that coming. You know, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to buy some gravy trying to catch minnows. You know what? That'll if that don't get you the tinfoil hat award, I don't know what will.
Yeah, don't have to be Purina.
Right.
Cheapest the better. You're only going for minnows.
but it's funny. I mean, look, nobody really asks at the dollar store what you're there for. You know, you just get your stuff. It's like $3. Right. You walk out. But I mean, if you were to actually have that conversation, they probably wouldn't let you back in.
That's right.
and that's the dollar store we're talking about.
Oh yeah.
but these are tips. These are things that you normally wouldn't think of. You know, but you know what? Somebody else shared that information with you, Mark.
Right.
And you learned. I mean, of all people, Mark Martin learned something about dog food in a minnow trap.
All ears and eyes right here. I mean, if somebody says something, it don't go in one ear and out the other, and I don't look away from it. I don't scoff at it. I probably put it into play next time I go, whether it's for fishing, hunting, or trapping minnows.
Yeah, I mean, it's all-encompassing. It really is, because, look, everybody you meet knows something you don't, no matter how absurd it could sound. It's definitely worked for him, and now it's working for you. And there's going to be this raid on dollar store dog food that people aren't going to understand, because we're going to be putting it in our minnow traps, because it has that tendency to kind of dissipate slowly and actually stay.
Right. And it don't, you're, and it's easy to carry with you, and it's light, and you know, there's more advantages than anything else I've ever used, and it didn't take up a spot in the freezer waiting for it to get frozen either.
Yeah, I mean, it just really, if you'd have told me 10 minutes before our conversation that we'd be talking about that for a minnow trap, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But again, here it is, something that somebody has tried, it's worked, and you bring it to the forefront. And, you know, why mess with something that isn't broken?
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. I used the little oatmeal balls for decades. And I used this one time, and it outproduced the dough balls by probably 10 times as many minnows. I mean, it almost filled the trap, and I like, whoa, and I'm trapping in the same creek, you know?
Wow.
So it was like having the scent, you know, the person was totally right on that.
About a minute left in the segment. Mark, how are you keeping your minnows? I mean, do you have a large aerator and a tub? What do you have going on for that?
Yeah, stainless steel tub that I got spring water running into and running out of it. And so it stays pretty cold all the time, and it's underneath some cedar trees. So and I got top on it, because otherwise you'd have all sorts of little critters in there helping themselves too. So
right.
Yeah, you got to have that, because if you don't, you're going to run out of minnows right when you don't want to, you know. And then I always take them within the boat. I have a special little cloth bag I put them in, and I put them in my live well, and then they're easier to net out of that little bag instead of trying to net them out of your big live well.
You know, and really, speaking with Mark Martin here on Wild Michigan, Mark, really, you're reducing that whole risk of EHD from the store-bought minnows, because, you know, look, first, you know, you have to have a license for them, and with the EHD problem they were finding from some of those minnows, I mean, this is a natural system that you're pulling them out of, keeping them in a natural system. I think the chances are a lot better to keep that stuff out of the systems.
Oh, yeah, and I'm using them in the same lake. I'm in the tributaries that go in the lake that I'm using them in. And so that makes it even less likely. And So, no, exactly. And I don't have them for very long.
Right.
Fish take them. Or my buddies do.
Right. I don't know which is worse. Mark Martin is our guest. We're going to talk more about how to apply those minnows coming up the next segment right here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild!
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here. Happy to be brought to you by Not Just Guns. Cedar Street at 127. If you're looking for a new firearm for the upcoming deer season, then do not wait because these guys are always busy at Not Just Guns. Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. They also have their Wednesday night auctions for ammunition, personal carry stuff, also some great firearms of all kinds. And they are happy to take care of you as well. Please tell them that we sent you. They are a great group over there. And I would not be talking about them if I didn't believe in them personally. So it means a lot to me that they are here with us. Very happy to have Not Just Guns on. Back with Mark Martin, walleye angler extraordinaire and a good friend of the show. Mark, we were talking a little bit about your technique to catch, to bring the minnows in. But setting that trap is a little bit different than one would think about going out. You kind of have to think like a minnow and swim in the places that they're going to be swimming to stay safe.
Right. You know, if you just throw them out in the creeks or wherever you're throwing them out, you may get one or two, even when you are using dog food, that catches umpteen zillion more minnows than the dough balls. But you got to set the traps right. You know, just don't, you know, haul them and throw them in. You take and you want to put them up as close to the bank that you can get, and in the deeper runs and in the bends in the creek. But as close to the bank where it's a steep drop right there, because they run along those drops. And when you put them in, too, you got to kind of look at them or understand that you don't want the end facing downstream. That's how you want to put them in, is upstream to downstream entrances. And then the downstream entrance where they got to swim into has to be slightly down. You don't want it tilted up because it eliminates fish just swimming along the contour and the bottom. They got to come up and go in. Well, if you just have it along the bottom and they foul in it, they'll go in. So you don't want to have it tipped up in the downstream side. So just remember all those little tips right there, and you'll have enough minnows to go fishing with.
Yeah, you know, the old glass ones, the old like Orvis and things like that, yep, had those two hooks on the top, so right, you could kind of balance it the way you wanted. Instead of, you know, of a straight line, you would have that tilt going the way you wanted to.
Right, and I got a couple of them, and I use them even though I probably shouldn't. But they work good. The only thing I've seen about them, especially in creeks, is they set off the bottom too far because they got legs on the bottom.
Right.
And they can swim under them, you know. But other than that, you're going to catch fish or minnows in them. So, yeah, but if you got a lot of money and you don't care if you lose them because the creek comes up real soon, I'd cry if mine disappeared.
Yeah, I've never owned one. I'm always looking for them. But, you know, and the thing is, too, with so many reproductions having been made in like the 90s and late 80s, yeah, I'm always very leery about buying the classic pieces like that. But if you find them at the right place at the right yard sale, then, you know, I'm good. I'll take my chances. But let's turn to using them in the fall, because the fall time is right about now. They're on the feed bag. They're getting big for the winter time, which looks like we're going to have a kind of a doozy of a winter by the things that we've been seeing around here.
Right.
But this is going to be a great time to get out and find those big trophy fish.
Oh, it is. This is the time here for the next until ice up, really, you know. But you want to, you know, when you're I mean, you can use a lot of crankbaits and you can use a lot of different kind of techniques to catch these. But when I see them, they usually are, you know, stacked up along a steep drop off in the fall. Look for the steep drop offs close to the deepest waters in the lake and they'll be stacked up. Well, you'd have to go past them trolling and past them trolling and past them trolling. We're using a live bait rig and sometimes I'm using a 3/4 ounce egg sinker. Because I'm in that kind of depth of water, I'm fishing all the way down to 40 some feet. And, you know, and so wherever I see them, and I'm straight up and down too, and I'm only moving maybe a little over a mile an hour to a mile an hour and pulling these big minnows by the lips. And you only want to hook them through the top of the lip with a number two, like Daiichi hook, and because they're really sharp, and you just hook them right through the top of the lip. And if you hook them through both, well, when the fish takes it and runs off and you got to set the hook, now you got to pull it out of two lips of a minnow and into the fish, where otherwise you're only pulling it out of the top lip of the minnow into the fish you're trying to catch. So hooking them is important, and that's where I hook them is right there, because they swim around like, and you're pulling them that slow, and you can feel when there's a predator fish by, because those fish see it, those minnows see it, and they start like a dog on a leash. You know, they either want to go after the rabbit or they want to get away from the mountain lion. You know, you know, so they're, you can feel them just bam, 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 and so you just kind of stop the trolling motor or slow it down, and you know you're going to feel the boom. You feel that, and then it's just like tip-up fishing after that. You feel them on, and then just let them run. Just keep the bail open or otherwise hit the free spool on your level wind and just let them go and let them go, and then pull back a little bit because you got big minnows. And then they think it's going to come out of their mouth, and they grab it again a little bit harder and run further. But if they take off running after they grab it, you know there's probably seven or eight of them, and it's just like it throwing a bone in with seven dogs, and the first one that grabs it, you got six more dogs running after them, you know. And that's what happens a lot of times. You see, when you can feel that fish running, 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 you know you got to keep coming through that area because there's a whole bunch more hungry fish right down there. So you let them go probably for at least a minute or so, maybe two sometimes. And then I reel down, you know, as far as I can till I barely start pulling back on the weight and the fish. And all of a sudden I'll feel a little bit of the fish going, oh. And then I reach out as far as I can, and I swing that rod because you don't know if that fish has come around and how much line it's taken out, but you know you got to get the hook into the fish. So you got to stretch out as far as you can, and then you swing like you're trying to hit a home run. And you spin sometimes 180 degrees around from where you were pointing that rod just to take up as much line as you can, and you're reeling as fast as you can as you're spinning around. So you're taking up 12 to 14 feet of line on the hook set instead of 3-4 feet. That's just going to poke the fish in the mouth.
Right. See, and that's, you know, that's a visual and something that that type of fishing, I don't think I've ever would have thought of before. You know what I mean? Because usually in the fall, it's trolling crankbaits or whatever. But with live bait, when you have that big live bait that's basically under there and running itself and then gets caught, you know, I mean, there's a lot of work going on under the water that we have to be aware of.
Right. It's not set the hook as soon as you feel them. It's quite the you know, and I was taught by, you know, my dad and grandpa and by the Linders and Roach, and that I won the 1990 Professional Walleye Trail Championship to be the original champion by using a live bait rig. So I guess that rig is near and dear to my heart.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of history to it, and you know, and it's got to be cool too. Like with me for Rock and Roll, a couple of weeks ago, I was up in the Petoskey area and got to hang out with my good friend Mark Farner from Grand Funk, you know, and it's kind of like the same thing for you, fishing wise, to, you know, having looked up to these guys, be on their level. Although I'm not on the level of music that Mark is, but just to be able to be friends with and learn from them. It's got to be really cool still to this day.
Oh, it is. You know, I just spent a few days with Gary Roach here 2 weeks ago. I was over there at Clam looking at the latest and greatest equipment, and they're showing me all of it. Well, I spent a couple days with Gary, 84 years old and still going strong, jumping in and out of the boat. And I said, Gary, would you jump off the dock into that boat for? You could just step down on the gunwale. And, he goes, oh, I'm ready to go. Hurry up. Get in the boat. Come on. I'm
awesome.
Like, he's still got the drive. He's still got the attention. He's as good as he was when we were fishing tournaments together, you know, and I hope to be that at 84, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's awesome, man. You know, and it's good to hear those stories. I don't think I would have pictured him at that age, but you would know. Yeah. Mark Martin, our guest, thank you so much for sharing with us those like inside tips to catching minnows and giving us some information that we haven't had before in the 15 years of the show. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime. I'm always willing to share with you and your listeners.
All right, check him out. MarkMartins.net. There's a link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Whole another hour coming your way here on the Michigan Talk Network.
From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State, to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here as we approach fall. Like it's a NASCAR race and it's got one lap left. We are on our way here in the Great Lakes State, all over the world as well. I mean, we all over the U.S., we have our fall coming, and it's a time where I got to get all bristled up and time to get outdoors a bit more than already happened this year. Going to be on the road a lot in the next couple of weeks. Going to be heading up to Escanaba, Alpena, Big Rapids, Marquette, Gaylord, North Country, and then, of course, Flint, Detroit, other places. If you are going to be in those areas, look me up. Hit me up on the Facebook or just shoot me a text. Let me know what there is to do in those areas so I can come by, maybe pick up an interview or two, something that we can share with the show and our going into our 15th year at the end of this month. But right now, I want to thank our friends at Conquest Scents, also Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason for all of your firearm needs. And, of course, the United Deer Farmers of Michigan joining us as sponsors of the show. You can pick up our podcast at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And we're going to jump into this hour with our good friend David A. Rose. David, it is the magical time of fall. And, you know, we've talked with Doug Roberts and we talked with other Mark Martin about the approaching cooler temperatures, and things are really starting to heat up in terms of action in the woods and on the water. And I'm looking maybe we might see some steelhead action really start to turn on before long.
Yeah, it won't be long at all. Yesterday, I was downtown Traverse City, and I work at the salmon weir there, and we put that in place so we can stop the migration of the Chinook and Coho salmon going up to Boardman, and they're harvested there, and the steelhead and the browns. We pass, do some measurements and all that kind of stuff, and let them go up above the weir. So, yeah, it's that busy time just in salmon and steelhead alone, let alone everything else.
I mean, we've been seeing, you know, how animals, insects react with what's coming. And, you know, we talked with Doug about some of the activity on the deer farm. We talked about, you know, these damn useless yellow jackets that are hiving up and just getting everywhere they possibly can, feeding on what they can and attacking me in the process. But
yeah, there are a lot of them.
We're seeing the activity that comes with a pretty heavy winter coming our way. And it looks like, I said, we might see some cooler temperatures, which is really going to trigger the fish action going up the rivers.
Yeah, yesterday, as we were putting in the weir, we had a major thunderstorm come, you know, where the sky turns not just dark, but it turns green and lightning and rain. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you a bunch of salmon went up a lot of rivers yesterday.
Now, what is it exactly? I mean, we know that some animals are photosensitive, and the salmon, of course, are temperature sensitive. How long of a stretch is it really going to take to have them get moving on a regular pace?
You know what? They've been moving up quite a bit. We're seeing earlier and earlier salmon runs every year, and that's just Mother Nature's way. The earlier a fish can spawn in the rivers, the salmon, the better the percentage of the eggs that hatch and turn into adults. So Mother Nature has its way. We've been actually seeing some Chinook in like the Betsy and the Pierre Marquette and the Boardman River since mid-August you start seeing them. And then there's a bunch in there now. And this is the month, Bill. This is the month where, I mean, as we speak, they're coming in.
David A. Rose is our guest here, and how are we going to go after them? I know in the springtime, it's a lot of smaller stuff, but this is feed bag time. This is maybe some of the bigger stuff we're throwing at them?
Yeah, this is the time of year, and it's, people have really been turned on to this. You get in the rivers, and you cast crankbaits, like storm thunder sticks or bombers, that kind of thing. What a blast. Those salmon will come up out of the hole and whack a crankbait. And in fact, that's back in 2009, that's how the world's largest brown trout ever was caught in the Big Manistee Rivers on a number 9 Rapala.
It was that long ago?
Yeah. It was 9-9 of 9. That's the only reason I can remember that.
Wow, because I remember getting that call from Captain Tillman that we had that fish. He was there. He says, you're about to see a world record fish. And we got that story on the show as fast as we could. I mean, literally minutes after that fish was brought in. And I can't believe that it was 2009 that happened.
Yep, it was. So 11 years ago. No, more than that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm 12. Beth and I don't get along.
Right. It's been 12 years, and it's been 15 for the show, so yeah, it definitely falls within that time frame. But yep. And we've seen over the course of the years too a lot of records fall here in Michigan. We've seen the catfish, the flathead catfish record fall, the smallmouth record fall.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah, literally twice in a very short period of time. Brown trout world record. We just had the king salmon record fall. So when do you think, David, when are we going to see a largemouth bass record fall in the state? Because that's not really our thing.
Well, you know, it's not our thing, but there's a lot of people out there fishing, and I've seen some 9-pounders and whatnot come out of Michigan. I think the state record is in the 12-pound category.
Wow.
It could happen. It could happen. But, you know, bass fishing is pretty popular, you know, especially in lower Michigan. People don't realize that Upper Peninsula has a lot of largemouth bass in it. And I'll make you a bet there's a state record up there in one of those inland lakes of the UP.
No, I would love to see that record fall, especially with such a big fish as that. David A. Rose, Wild Fishing is his guide service. David A. Rose, outdoor writer, joining us as well up in the Traverse City area. How have things been for you? I mean, this is like year two of COVID. Now we have like the alter ego of the COVID coming through. But how has it been for you as an angler and a rider? Because things haven't been as available as they have in years past.
No, you know, you're right. They haven't. I have not had very many guide trips. In fact, last year I had zero guide trips because my boat's just big enough. I couldn't keep people 6 feet apart, and I didn't want to deal with the mask and the hand sanitizer and all this kind of stuff. And I couldn't run anywhere because you got to sit next to each other in my boat. So this year I've done a few trips. So it's affected the guides guiding all around the state and some of the outdoor rider events too. Now I am going to be over in Gaylord this next week. The AGLO, the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers, is having a conference. You know, they didn't have one last year, so here it is going to be in Gaylord, and so I'm going to be heading over to that. So that's nice, and I get a lot of stories from these conferences.
Now, as an outdoor writer, I mean, how are you, you know, like gleaning your topics? What are you looking for? I mean, we know we have the regular seasons to go through. I mean, this is like what I do, but, you know, I'm just kind of waiting to see what hits me.
Oh, yeah, and that's kind of what happens. What is hitting you at the time? You're out there fishing bluegills or something on Houghton Lake. It's one of the activities, or we're trout fishing over on the Asabo or something like that. Maybe there's a unique something that they're doing unique technique. There we go. That's what I want to say. That they're doing. Say that 10 times fast. And so you write about these little things, and you can pick apart a story. It's just not like, you know, we floated down the Asabo and we dry fly fished and caught a bunch of brook trout. You really can divide it up into all sorts of different stories, a lot of angles.
Absolutely. David A. Rose joining us here up in the Traverse City area. A little windy up there where you're at today.
Yes, I'm outside here in the wind doing my outdoor thing.
Right. Oh, we're going to join you in another second here, David. Hang on, if you don't mind. We're going to talk more with David and find out what he's got going on for the fall coming up and maybe the winter, because, you know, there will be. I'm thinking we'll see ice this year, and we probably might see it a little earlier than normal. Again, that's just my take on this. Maybe we need to get Andy Provenzano in here for a couple of segments to find out what he sees with the weather. But you can join the conversation anytime you want via our Facebook page or via our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here. Approaching fall in the fastest manner possible. Without even blinking, it's here. And we are getting ready to get out and enjoy some time in the woods with bow season coming up October 1st. Of course, you have the youth hunt, the victory hunt, and the other hunts that are going on prior to that. And, you know, we'll get into the upland game birds, turkey season in the fall, which, you know, it's not really a huge thing here. But you have the opportunity to harvest a tom or a hen coming up in the fall time. And from what I've seen personally, we've had some great hatches this year, and our turkey numbers are just through the roof here in the Great Lakes State. But right now I'm going to speak with David A. Rose about some other fall opportunities. I know that Lake St. Clair, David, is by far not only my opinion, but in the opinion of people like Kevin Van Dam and others, that Lake St. Clair is the premier lake for smallmouth. And when people are out blasting ducks and geese, the waters are pretty much left open.
Yeah, there's a lot of anglers out there, a lot of bass anglers, and they know that fall time is a great time to catch smallmouth bass. And yeah, St. Clair is, it's always rated as the top, you know, like in Bassmaster magazine or something like that. The numbers are great, excellent size fish on average. And you know what? It's a lake I've never even fished. How's that?
I've one-upped you then. That's impossible.
Yes, you do.
I don't know. I really don't know how that happened. I've not been very good there, but because that type of fishing in that lake is very different than what I'm used to.
Yeah, I mean it could be the sixth Great Lake. You know, I mean it's that big. It's just a connection of the Great Lakes. It's not considered a Great Lake. But when you get out there, you find out it's a great big lake. And yeah, so there's a lot of reefs and humps and bumps, weed edges, all sorts of things that you're looking for. And, you know, a GPS is a bass angler's friend out there.
You know, back when we've had like guys like Bill Dance on or brother Jimmy, Jimmy Houston, you know, those in the days those guys were coming up, it was Lake Okeechobee or places in South Carolina or, you know, Alabama, places like that where the bass fishing was always the best. But introduce smallmouth into that whole thing, and wow, look at this. You got this kid from up north taking the tournament trophies and the championships. You got Michigan having the best smallmouth lake in the country. You know, it's like, how did all of a sudden we become a focal point for bass fishing? That's almost like saying that NASCAR is better coming from the north than it was the south.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The lakes surrounding the Great Lakes are just excellent for smallmouth. And then Wisconsin, don't forget the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Minnesota, New York. I've been to, I fished the Niagara River several times, and the smallmouth bass fishery there is outstanding as well. So And again, so it's these waters, it's the Great Lakes, and it's the waters surrounding the Great Lakes. And I mean, this is where smallmouth live. Nice, clean, hard bottom. They love it.
Now, this time of year, David A. Rose is our guest, outdoor writer. Wild Fishing is his guide service. Let's talk a little bit about pike, because, you know, I love fall pike, especially when you get into that tip-up time of the winter when it comes to eating. But right now for catching, that's another great fish, a sport fish to be out after.
Yeah, it is. This time of year, you know, the pike, well, they're like any other fish. During the heat of the summer and whatnot, they went into deeper water. They even suspend up in the water column to feed. I mean, you can still catch them, but, you know, they were down in 30, 40 foot of water sometimes. Well, now their waters are starting to cool off, so they're going up and eating young of the year fish and minnows of all sorts. So they're a little easier to target for most folks. And basically, if you find some weeds, there's a good chance you're going to find a pike in there.
Now, when you're going after pike, as I mean, a lot of swim people are using swim baits, bigger crank baits, but you better be ready to maybe lose a lure or two because of those razor sharp teeth that they have.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Now, some, you know, it's kind of weird. Everybody, you know, put a steel leader on, whatever, but you know, you impede the action of your lure when you have all that hardware on there. So some folks do leaders of heavier fluorocarbon. But it's funny, sometimes the lighter the line, the better, too, because here's an example. Tip-up fishing, we're using 4-pound test line for pike because the line actually goes right up in between their teeth. It's not getting sliced by the teeth. So light line is even an option. But, yeah, use lures that aren't going to, you know, the pike can't really engulf. So larger body baits, I use a lot of spinner baits. You know, it's steel and lead, and you got the big flashy blades, and when they bite it, you know, they're not biting the line, they're biting the lure itself.
Now, in the past, we've talked with guys like Pete Mana, who's a musky maniac out of Wisconsin. And the figure eight, if you've ever watched the figure eight in action, it works. It's really weird because you're right up next to the boat making this figure eight with your lure at the end of your rod. But I've used it over on Lake Millicoquin up in the UP. And man, it's a crazy technique, but it really does work.
It really does. You know, a lot of times pike and muskie, you know, they'll follow up to the boat and they're just not, you know, they just didn't swipe at it or something. Or a lot of times they sabotage out from under your boat. So, yeah, it's good to keep that lure in the water as much as possible. And that's what the figure eight does. It, you know, you cast, you reel in, but before you make that other cast, you just kind of swing it around in that eight shape in the water. It's surprising how many fish will come out from under the boat. You had no idea was there and attack your lure. It's a heart stopper.
But believe me, it did, because we were fishing up on the lake, and you know, I said, well, I'm just going to try this for the heck of it. You know, these guys say it works. Well, whatever. All of a sudden, yep, I get this great big pike, you know, just comes up, latches onto my lure right there next to the boat, and my buddy Russ Bartell, who's in the boat with us, is like, oh my God, that really works. I'm like, well, yeah, didn't you know that?
Yeah, pike are notorious for, as you lift that lure out of the water, they'll sabotage it right as it hits the surface. So another heart stopper right there.
That's awesome. David A. Rose is our guest. So what are you looking forward to this fall? I mean, look, man, I know you do a lot of fishing. Living up where you live was by design. And I finally got my first glimpse of the Boardman River here a couple of weeks ago. So now I get to know what you're talking about.
Yep, the Boardman River is, you know, a blue ribbon trout stream, and, you know, they've taken three dams off of there, and the water's cooler. That it has really extended the brown trout and the brook trout range, and it's just a beautiful piece of water. I love the upper Boardman. In fact, I went and dabbled a worm there on Monday morning real early just to get out. I mean, trout live in some beautiful spots in the Boardman River. That's from head to toe, that's beautiful.
And accessing them isn't really that difficult. I mean, you don't always have to wade, and you don't always have to be using the fly rod to go after them either.
Oh, no. In fact, I love using the spinning rod, maybe casting some spinners or something like that, or even you know, drifting a worm or something through a hole. Love it. You know, just like you said, it's not just a river runs through it where you're Brad Pitt flinging a fly. There's all sorts of ways to catch him.
I almost missed that reference. I'm glad you said something. David A. Rose, man, we appreciate you joining us, and looking forward to maybe making that second stop up through Traverse City to connect. We missed our last chance, but fortunately everything went well on all sides from that one. But dude, as always, we appreciate you joining us here on the show.
We will definitely get together. Traverse City is a beautiful area.
Absolutely.
Not just tourists.
Nope. I was, like I said, I was there myself. But if you're in those areas up north that I mentioned earlier, by all means, reach out to us. We would love to see you here with Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.